Oh, here we go. Good morning. I call to order this 1,346th meeting of the Board of Directors of the Washington Metropolitan Area Transit Authority. The date is November the 19th, 2009. It is 11 a.m. and this room is a lot brighter, isn't it? Is it because of these being on?
Yeah. And
there was a complaint about excessive glare.
Oh, okay. So it's a lot brighter in here, isn't it? It's probably coming from the personalities that are assembled, I suppose. But anyway, so I call this meeting to order, and our first order of business is public comment. We have two public commenters. We have Michael Sindrum. Is Mr. Sindrum here? I don't see him. I see him now. Okay, Mr. Sindrum. Yes, Mr. Sindrum, please come forward from the District of Columbia. And Eva Britt. Ms. Britt, if you would stand ready to present your testimony. Mr. Sindrum, please proceed.
Board members, all those within the sound of my voice, my name is Michael Sindrum, a disabled veteran who has served our country more than most. I am an avid Metro rider, and I'm holding in my hand for the record a disability card which says permanent on record. And as a disabled veteran with a permanent Ramada ID card, medically necessitated, I'm entitled to these fare cards for reduced rate. One I have in my hand is demagnetized, and I have been put on notice by the good police chief Taborn that I'm not allowed on the premises here to transact business. Now, at the respective machines at the stations, you can do the white cards, but not these. So I'm going to ask Mr. Taborn here how I can take care of business. And you're an avid civil rights advocate, Mr. Graham. Isn't this affront to liberty of contract, Constitution Article 1, Section 10? Sound familiar? So help me help you help us. I have a letter from the American Civil Liberties Union that says, in part, I quote, "We have no basis to say whether the conditions set forth in the August 2000 letter," referring to Chief Taborn's letter, "is still in effect. We've written, we phoned, haven't gotten a response." Can I get a response, Chief Taborn? There's a letter to Sarah Wilson, the Assistant General Manager, July 29, 2008. Last I was here, you promised General Manager Cato a response. She has 100 of my Metro cards, as do you, at the council hearing. I've yet to get reimbursed. When can I get a response and get my redeemed cards? There's a letter to you, General Manager Cato, of March 10, 2009. Today's date is what, Mr. Graham? November the 19th in county? Wouldn't you say that's an unreasonable period of time? You have people coming before you on the committee, and you demand transparency and accountability and rule of law, right? So why shouldn't it be here? We're talking about millions of dollars and lives at stake. I mean, what's going on here? Let's keep it real. Last but not least, there's a letter, August the 6th, 2009, that you have in your hand, Chair Graham, from Neighborhood Legal Services, asking what's going on here. Chief Taborn, can you help me here? I mean, if you can't help yourself, you can't help me. You can't help our community. Sad but true. Article after article have appeared in the paper. The Express, July 13th. Metro braces for crash lawsuits. Examiner, Monday, July 8th, 13th. Metro's problems go deeper than one faulty track circuit. Intowner, from the publisher's desk, "It's time for the Metro system to wake up before more of us get maimed or killed due to negligence." Examiner, Thursday, July 30th. Metro bus driver charged with kidnapping after passenger held. Friday, Examiner, July 31st. Orange Line train catches fire at rush hour. Express, Local, July 31st. Bus driver phone use scrutinized. Front page news for the Examiner. Bold headlines here. Another hellish day for Metro. This is August 19, 2009. Examiner, August 25th. Mechanic fighting charge of stabbing fellow worker. And then last but not least, the Post, which is a liberal publication, even got on board here in their November the 11th. And isn't that Veterans Day, Chair Grant? It says here, "Duck and cover at Metro. What does a transit agency have to hide? And what does it have to hide indeed? Violating my constitutionally guaranteed rights, that I can't take care of business, that I can't come and speak, and if I do, I've got a whole entourage of police to muzzle me and chill my free speech rights. That's un-American.
Mr. Sindrum, your time has
expired. Anti-democratic. I conclude with this. When the rights of one are violated, the rights of all are in danger. Today it's me and tomorrow it's you. Injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. I'd like your response, Mr. Chair, and General Manager Cato, and Chief Taborn, disabled veteran who has served our country more than most. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Sindrum. Our next witness, a public commentator, is Eva Britt. Ms. Britt, will you come forward?
I'll try to be brief. I was asked to come to this meeting this morning to comment about an incident that I endured on November 7th between the hours of 10:30 and maybe 11:30 p.m. On that date, it was a Saturday, I boarded an X2 bus at 14th and I, or 15th and I can't recall it was, but I rode around to come home. It's one of my regular bus routes. I live in the 15th Street corridor. And from Lafayette Square to 7th Street, things were fine. At 7th Street and at Gallery Place and 6th Street, there are problematic stops because usually a lot of, I'm going to say young people board the bus, anywhere from 20 to 30 or more. And pickup was fine at 7th Street. It usually is not. 6th Street, by the time the driver got to 6th Street, the bus was crowded, standing room only. And a young man and two women, young man stood very near the bus driver, and the two women were standing on each side of the aisle. And then as the bus pulled off, within about maybe 5 or 10 minutes, the standing passenger near the bus driver started talking to someone in the back of the bus. It seemed to be a planned event, and he started talking in code to him, and they escalated in noise to a fever pitch, and I was tired. I'm accustomed to it. It usually is very bad on a Saturday night. And cursing, it escalated into cursing, S-H-I-T, D-A-M-N, and then the N-word was explosive off the chain. And I usually don't open my mouth. I've been riding the line about 12 years, and I was trying my best not to open my mouth, but this particular Saturday night, I just was tired. I wanted just to get home, and before I knew it, I opened my mouth, and I said, you know, have you ever heard of respect, self-respect? And then I couldn't stop. The next thing I knew, I just couldn't stop saying, I'm just so sick of it, I'm just so sick of it, and I couldn't stop saying it. And it called attention to me, and then they turned on me, both of the men. And I became the object of ridicule. I became the object of talking about my disability, my age, older, and the bus, there were members of the bus that were laughing at me, of course. And the young man at the front, he continued to agitate. They both were agitated. And then the one in the back came up and actually stood near me and was dancing. He also made fun of the fact he thought I could not walk. I can. I use my chair for outdoor mobility. And he came near me on this side of me and danced. And by then, I told him, you know, that wheelchairs are not unique to me, and let's hope your legs last your lifetime. I suspect they won't. But in any event, the reason I'm here today is because the bus driver had no power. At no time, the passenger in front obviously was standing near the driver for a reason. and that was to make him unable to do anything about what they were planning to do on the bus. It was just the worst time that I've sat through or lived through, but I sat through it many times. It's just the first time I could not tolerate it myself. I talked maybe about 15 minutes or more. No one, not a single person, said anything. Everybody seemed to be scared. He did threaten me one or two times, and I told him without a doubt that I was not afraid of him, and I was not going to shut my mouth because I felt this way. If I did, then I would send a signal that I, too, was scared, and I was not.
Ms. Britt, your time has now expired.
So I'm here to, because I also like to offer solutions to any problem, I don't just like to complain. I would suggest to Metro that something be done to give bus drivers an opportunity or somewhere to signal Metro Police, because there was enough time, because I got off at 14th and H, so there was enough time to call someone to, you know, to intervene and get on the bus, and I would have helped you. I would have helped Metro to identify the individuals, because I was trying to get a very good look at all of them. But I got off at 14th and H, and I'm sure that it continued. That's all I really want to say. Something's got to be done. It was also a driver that I had ridden with before and knew very well, who was very kind to me, you know, getting on and off the bus. But when I got off, just one more minute, I did tell them, you know, they had better get out of my way, and if anybody touched me, I was going to have them arrested. I just was not afraid. But something has got to be done. It is the worst line I've ever ridden. And when I left the bus, I felt this way that November 7th, that I felt that sooner or later and sooner someone was going to be killed on that bus, and I was not surprised last week when I heard of the death, the tragedy on H Street, because the young man kept saying that the X2 belonged to them, that they owned it, they controlled it, they would do what they wanted to on the X2 line, and I'm feeling a little concerned about the new trolleys. I feel that they will be taken over too if something isn't done very soon.
Well, thank you very much, Ms. Britt, for coming here and providing us with this compelling testimony. What was the date of this incident, please? So it's very recent. Other board members may wish to comment, but let me say to the general manager that we would like to have this looked into. We would appreciate any information you can provide us on problems on this particular line. There certainly was somebody who was gunned down getting on the bus on that very line recently, a great tragedy for the family. But if you could, Mr. Cato, if you could conduct an inquiry into this specific situation, there's a good report on the bus driver. The bus driver was very helpful to you coming and going. But he was rendered powerless because of the situation, and there's certainly a specific suggestion that's being made there as well. But, Mr. Cato, will you conduct this inquiry?
Yes, I will. In fact, Milo Victoria is in the room, and he's shaking his head, but he will have a discussion
okay.
with you.
I'd like to have a written report back to the board of directors on this, please. And she has all the details of it. Is there a further comment from the board for the comment? Thank you very much, Ms. Britt. We appreciate very much your attendance here today. Before I forget, I'm going to move that the Board of Directors meet in executive session to discuss legal and contractual matters consistent with Board Procedure Roman Numeral 6B and 6D. Is there a second? It's been seconded by Mr. Zimmerman. Discussion, discussion, discussion. Hearing none, all those in favor say aye, aye. Opposed, no. The ayes have it. We will convene an open session of the board following the executive session to act upon any items discussed in executive session if necessary, and this is pursuant to our established procedures. We will now move to the approval of the agenda. Is there a motion to approve the agenda?
So moved.
It's been moved by Mr. Benjamin and seconded by Ms. Hewlett. Is there discussion? Mr. Zimmerman.
Don't have on the agenda a report from the Committee on Customer Service Operations and Safety, but we did forward three actions this morning.
Okay, we will add that to the agenda as item number 10, I believe, and renumber accordingly. administrative actions will become 11 and so on. With that change, without objection, we'll incorporate that change. Is there further discussion on the agenda? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye. Aye. Opposed, no. The ayes have it. We now have the minutes before us from October the 22nd and November the 5th. Is there a motion to approve the minutes as if read? It's been moved by Mr. Zimmerman and seconded by Mr. Benjamin. Is there discussion on the minutes? Discussion, discussion, discussion. Hearing none. All in favor say aye. Aye. Opposed, no. The ayes have it. And the minutes are approved. We now have the report from our Riders Advisory Council. Ms. Zinkel is here. Chairperson Zinkel, will you please provide us with your report?
Thank you, Chairman Graham and members of the board. I am pleased to present with you the Riders Advisory Council report for November 2009. First of all, you know, I think we've been through this before, but it's always good to remind folks. My name is Diana Zinkel, and I am the chair of the Riders Advisory Council for 2009. Our group is an all-volunteer group of riders. We have 21 positions, 19 folks appointed right now. We report to the board. We are not WMATA employees. And as folks who are your riders, not your employees, I do believe interactions with us are governed by the customer service standard, regardless of who we're interacting with. I would also now point to my actual written report. I think fourth page of that report contains a graphic on the Smart Trip program. In August, I requested in writing on behalf of myself and several members an update on the Smart Trip program, including the status of various enhancements we'd been promised in 2008. This is what we received in response. In addition to an oral briefing, which I recount in my written report, our feedback based on that oral briefing is summarized at the bottom of the first page of my report in bullets for your review. With regard to, moving on, with regard to the fiscal 2011 budget town hall meetings, of course the DC and Virginia meetings had some participation by RAC members, which we greatly appreciated. I did attend last night's meeting in Prince George's County, and Council Member Chris Farrell attended the meeting in Montgomery County earlier in the month. I would say that while I think the meetings were very fruitful and I'm glad that we got some strong public input, I hope that as the fiscal 2011 budget process moves forward, we can get some more concrete information on the 2011 budget itself, because I think while a lot of the feedback at the town halls was very good, it did move off of the budget process relatively quickly. Moving on to the alternative fair collection strategy. This is something that I was essentially asked to participate in in the month with WMATA. It's apparently a series of focus groups. I was invited to one. As the only participant in the group who was not a WMATA employee or contractor, the facilitator seemed particularly interested in my input. Specifically, I added three suggestions. Thinking of disability access in terms of best practice rather than compliance, which I think is something generally could help the system in addressing some of its rising metro access costs. Think of the fixed route system actually took a best practices approach. It might be a more comfortable environment for a lot of individuals with disabilities. That the Smart Trip program continues to be oriented around the rail system, and that improving facilities and overall access for bus riders would also, I think, help with that program. And developing more monthly and weekly pass products. We have some weekly pass products. We don't really have monthly pass products, and none of them are Smart Trip enabled at this point. So those three suggestions are summarized again in bullets on the second page of my report, and lower down on my report, you will see suggestions by the WMATA employees who also participated in that focus group. I don't know what the intention with regard to RAC participation in the focus groups is moving forward. As the current chair, I'm still a bit in the dark about this process, and I did request additional information from WMATA. The response I got was, Metro has established an automatic fair collection strategy group to work towards a comprehensive fair collection vision. Modifications to and impacts upon the fare structure, zones, and passes are very much a consideration in the creation of this holistic fare collection strategy. I have to say, like, as chair of your citizens advisory group, that's not giving me a whole lot to react to or much to take back to my folks in terms of how we can meaningfully participate in this process. And I would hope that we could perhaps, if there is an interest in RAC input, get some sort of written narrative describing the hoped for goals as well as some sense of the timelines and expected time commitment. And I think also some sense of when input from the general public would be available, as, you know, we are not a perfect sample of the public input. Next, the NH1 service. We've talked about this in the past, and I just wanted to highlight that I did include the notes from our special meeting, and that if you look on page 5 of the special meeting notes, you will see a summary at the bottom of Mr. Marshall's comments about his sense of fear and concerns about the safety for folks who now have to walk where they used to be able to take the NH1. And then just a few last things, comings and goings. We very much welcomed our new member, Lorraine Silva, from Arlington County at our last meeting. And we are hoping to plan an orientation session for all our RAC members, both new and old, in January. And the last thing I would like to say, Mr. Sindrum, who actually spoke earlier, he came by and handed me some of the letters that he gave to you. And I would just like to say, based on his comments, the comments of the lady who had spoken earlier, is, you know, thinking about public transit, I think for many of us, and I include myself in this, I'm fortunate enough to be able to afford a home close to where I work. I'm able-bodied enough that I can ride and afford 2 bicycles. I can walk if I need to. There are grocery stores convenient to where I live. I don't have any issues with job access. So when, you know, I have issues with WMATA, I can really kind of just laugh them off if I have to. But, you know, for a lot of people, WMATA may be just about the only thing they have as a way to interact with their community, get food, get to the grocery store, get to their church, interact with their social network. And so when things threaten their public transit service, you're really getting to that, if you've ever heard of Maslow's hierarchy of needs, you're really getting to that lowest level, that food, clothing, and shelter level for some folks. And unfortunately, I don't think most of the folks in this room fit into that category. And so I don't think we sometimes understand how some of the incidents on the X2, a bus that I ride frequently, can be very threatening to someone, and how, like, on a very fundamental level. And I think sometimes some of the crowding issues we see on some of these core services are what leads to then the sort of disruptive behavior, because you're putting people in an environment where they just don't feel like their needs are being met. And so I would really encourage everyone to think about what this agency does as really, for a lot of folks, really fundamentally getting to the core of what they need to participate in society and really function. And with that, I will answer any questions you may have.
Well, thank you very much, Chairperson Zinkel. I think you've raised, I've listened carefully to what you've said, and I think you've raised a series of questions, actually, that, you know, probably interaction on these issues that you've raised right at this moment may not be the best way to do it. You and I have met individually. Perhaps it would be good if we had a meeting with the general manager and myself, and certainly any board member who wished to participate with us, to review these issues more carefully. And rather than going into them right now, I would suggest that as an approach, if that's acceptable to you.
I think that's fine. You know, I see my role here as chair of the RAC is to, you know, first of all, report back to the board what I and my members experience with the authority, but also to portray that information in a way that's also available to the public. So while I appreciate your request for that meeting, please understand that I do have certain obligations, and I think that you know enough about the situation. I would hope to have some sort of confidence in how I will choose to handle that.
Well, and I hope nothing I've said would suggest a contrary view on that.
No, I don't.
But I just, you know, I think you've, I hear in your statement today certain questions, which, and maybe I'm mistaken, but that would be worthy of further discussion. And maybe, and I'm just making a suggestion, actually, that perhaps you would invite someone. It might make sense for someone from the Virginia and Maryland to join you from the RAC, and certainly we can ask for additional board participation and have a meeting with the general manager. If you're interested in doing that, I'm willing to do it.
I think that that could really be a positive step towards, you know, really enhancing the relationship amongst the authority, the board, and the RAC, which I hope is something that we can continue to do. But I agree with you. I think it would be most appropriate if representatives from other jurisdictions were invited as well.
Good. And so may I ask, Loida, would you facilitate, set up this meeting, and we can have it? Mr. Cato, are you willing to meet with us on this issue?
Absolutely.
Good. So, and Ms. Hewlett has a comment.
Yes. I just want to take this opportunity to thank Ms. Stinko for coming last night to the budget forum meeting. I think the information you provided last night was very helpful. So thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much. We'll be following up on this.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. Now, I'm getting an over voice in this sound system. Is anybody else hearing that, or am I? It's reverberating. Okay, maybe we need to make an adjustment, because I don't see anyone talking, and so you wonder about moments like this. But anyway, so can we, maybe the sound system is up too high. Anyway, okay. So that concludes that, the Writers Advisory Council report. We now move to the chairman. That's me. Oh, I have no report. We now move to the, because I'll tell you why I don't have a report. I think I want to commend Mr. Zimmerman for his leadership this morning and his committee, because I think many of the issues that we're now dealing with in the forefront of the agency were addressed this morning, and we've all spoken to those issues. So let's go then to Mr. Cato. Mr. Cato.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have a quick report as well as to recognize an employee this morning. Two issues. One is there will be an early opening this Saturday on the Metro Rail system. We will open 1 hour early to accommodate the crowds expected to attend the 22nd annual Help the Homeless Walkathon, which begins at 9 o'clock a.m. In addition, credit card payment for parking is now accepted at the Huntington parking structure. Yesterday, we began accepting it. This brings the number of stations at which customers can pay for parking with their credit cards to 7. The biggest highlight this morning is really a highlight of our employee, and if I could ask that Officer Jeff Miller please stand. Today in our highlight, I'd like to recognize a 2-year member of the Metro Transit Police Department, Officer Jeff Miller. He's a fine example of Metro's hardworking law enforcement officers who are there when you need help and is always ready to assist our customers and to protect the equipment of this agency. I would like to call your attention to a 2-week period in October when he was instrumental in 5 felony arrests. On October the 3rd, 2009, Officer Miller investigated a call at the New Carrollton Metro Rail Station where 2 people approached a young man and attempted a robbery. Both defendants escaped from the scene but were later captured in the area by Officer Miller. On October the 10th, Officer Miller was approached by a victim at the Anacostia Metro Rail Station who stated that they were robbed by a man with a handgun. Officer Miller, along with other officers, located the defendant, arrested him, and recovered the stolen property, the defendant's clothes, and a handgun. 9 days later, on October the 19th, Officer Miller responded to the Congress Heights Metro Station to investigate a fight that occurred in the station's bus bay. Once there, he quickly met with the victim and learned that the 2 suspects were escaping aboard a Metro bus. Officer Miller stopped the bus, removed the 2 individuals, and sorted out the details of the case. This is what he learned. He learned that a victim has been stabbed in the leg during the fight. He placed both suspects under arrest and requested medical aid for the victim. Officer Miller would be the first to tell you that these accomplishments would not have been possible without the help of other members of the Transit Police Department. He might even say that he was lucky by being at the right place at the right time. What deserves recognition is the tenacity and professionalism of Officer Miller, who makes his own good luck by aggressively patrolling his sector using sound police tactics and paying attention to all the small details that led to the arrest and successful prosecution. Chairman Graham, I would ask that you join me in the center to recognize this distinguished member of the Metro Transit Police, Officer Jeff Miller. That completes my report.
Thank you. All right. Now we will proceed to the report by the Planning, Development, and Real Estate Committee, Mr. Albert.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. It's one item from our committee, and that's an item to sell excess metro property at Chilham Place Northeast in Washington, D.C. to the Mount Calvary Holy Deliverance Church of Deliverance. I move approval.
It's been moved. Is there a second? It's been seconded by Ms. Hewlett. Discussion, discussion, discussion. Hearing none, all those in favor say aye. Aye. Opposed, no. The ayes have it. The matter is approved. Further, Mr. Albert?
That concludes my report.
Thank you. And now we move to the report by Finance, Administration, and Oversight Committee. Mr. Benjamin.
Mr. Chairman, we have four items, the first of which is a establishment of a 2010 reimbursable project budget, amending the budget, I'm sorry, to establish a regional travel training project. We have received grants under the Job Action Reverse Commute. Actually, I think it's Job Access. You might want to change the resolution that's on here so it says Job Access, Reverse Commute, and the new Freedom Programs to fund a two-year regional travel training initiative in cooperation with the Centers for Independent Living in Maryland, Virginia, and the District of Columbia. The amount of this project will be $1,234,464, and there will be a one-time contribution by Metro of $85,000. The result will be substantial additional training in the use of our mainline systems. I move approval of this action.
It's been moved by Mr. Benjamin and seconded by Mrs. Hutchins. Is there discussion, discussion, discussion? Hearing none. All in favor say aye. Aye. Opposed, aye. No. The ayes have it. The motion is approved. Mr. Benjamin.
Our second item deals with the 28 line in Virginia. We are being asked by staff to approve the staff report and recommendations to implement a restructuring of the regional Metrobus Route 28 Leesburg line. If you look in your package, you will see that this saves money, about $200,000 this year and about $400,000 in future years until 2013, when it drops a little bit. Part of that is because we're also authorizing the general manager to execute a three-year grant with the Virginia Department of Transportation, which will pay for some of these services. We are amending the 2010 revenue budget, and we're amending the cost budget, and in particular, we are adding one service operations manager. The overall expense budget will go, or the subsidy will go down by $194,000. When we receive the Virginia Department of Transportation grant. You have a resolution in front of you. I move that resolution.
It's been moved by Mr. Benjamin. Is there a second?
Second.
It's been seconded by Mrs. Hutchins. Is there discussion, discussion, discussion? Mr. Zimmerman.
So my understanding is that with this restructuring, although it's you know, actually going to save a little money on the, on our side of things, that it's actually an improvement in service for the customers, as such as I'm sure is more familiar with it.
Mr. Graham, you noted it is an improvement, and it is a mix of service that serves from actually Alexandria line all the way down through Tyson's, and it is changing the service in that it allows a direct limited stop in some portions of the day, as well as serving the neighborhoods that it originally does with a much more efficient use. So it is really an improvement, and the public hearing was very vigorous in terms of those who supported it and the issues that needed to be resolved in the neighborhoods.
Route 7 corridor, although it doesn't pass from my jurisdiction, it runs right along the boundary on the west side, and of course many Arlingtonians who spend a lot of bus service transfer to and from, and that corridor, of course, is in such need of better transit service. I hope that this will turn out to be a help. Thank you.
Is there further discussion? Further discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? No. The ayes have it. And that resolution is approved. Mr. Benjamin?
Our third item is a similar service improvement. Thank you very much for making that point. This will improve service on the Q2 in Montgomery County, particularly on the central portion and the heaviest used portion of that line. We're being asked to approve the staff report and recommendations to implement those changes, to approve or amend the fiscal 2010 budget to add one service manager again. And this is the second one, one for the other line, one for this line, and to amend the operating budget to reduce expenditures by $125,000. This is a regional service, and although there is a service improvement, we again have reduction in subsidy, $125,000 in 2010 and $242,000 after that. The resolution is in front of you. I move approval of the resolution.
It's been moved by Mr. Benjamin. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Mrs. Hutchins.
We're a great team. Yeah.
Is there discussion? 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 Hearing none. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? No. The resolution is adopted. Mr. Benjamin.
Our last item is to obtain board approval for a budget amendment to transfer $250,000 from the West Falls Church parking garage project to the Huntington 2 parking garage project. This is to pay the final costs of the Huntington Garage project. We're moving the cost to close that will be $614,123, and we need $250,000 from West Falls Church to be able to close out that contract. Again, there is a resolution in front of you. I move approval of that resolution.
It's been moved. Is there a second? It's been moved by Mr. Benjamin and seconded by Ms. Hewlett. Is there discussion, discussion, discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, no. The ayes have it. The resolution is adopted. Mr. Benjamin.
That concludes our report.
And now we move to the report of the Customer Services Operations and Safety Committee. Mr. Zimmerman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We had three items from the meeting just concluded this morning. We had very extensive discussion, so I probably don't need to make a lot of preface to the actions bring forward. The first one is hopefully before you now in resolution form, as Ms. O'Keefe prepared it, but I believe it reflects exactly the wording that was forwarded in committee in directing the staff and establishing policy here on cooperation with the Tri-State Oversight Committee, and I move its approval.
It's been moved by Mr. Zimmerman. Is there a second?
Second.
It's been moved by Mr. Zimmerman and seconded by Mr. Benjamin. Is there discussion on the resolution pertaining to the cooperation with the Tri-State Oversight Committee? Discussion, discussion, discussion. Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, no. The ayes have it. This resolution is adopted. Mr. Zimmerman.
The second item concerned a letter to be sent by the chairman to the Secretaries of Transportation of Maryland and Virginia and the director in the District of Columbia concerning the Tri-State Oversight Committee and efforts to strengthen its operation and improve communications. I don't know that we have any other document, but hopefully everyone still has what we were looking at a while ago in the other room. And the committee recommends that the board approve direction for such a letter. And on behalf of the committee, I do so move.
It's been moved by Mr. Zimmerman, seconded by Mrs. Hutchins, that Hewlett, I'm sorry, I'm so used to saying now, yeah. Mrs. Hutchins. It was seconded by Ms. Hewlett. And is there a discussion on this motion? Discussion, Mr. Benjamin?
I would like to change item B, actually, to give a little bit more breadth. If you remember in our discussion earlier, it was pointed out that the state of Maryland had appointed people with 30 years of experience and competence in safety. Although I agree that raising the stature by appointing members of with high agency rank or prominence is very good, I'd like to also add competence and experience in safety.
That's certainly fine with me.
Without objection, we will add those words to the motion.
I should also note, Mr. Chairman, that in item A, Mayor Yule had asked to, and I believe the committee agreed, to include a reference to funding along with the dedicated staffing, and so that should be included as well.
That was a change that was made within the committee, so of course we would have that, we would expect that to be part of
it. It is, and I'm just not sure because the document whether everyone has that.
We would add the word funding to A. Did you get that, Ms. O'Keefe? Thank you.
Funding and.
Funding and, yes, thank you. Is there further discussion? Further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? No. That motion is approved. And Mr. Zimmerman.
The third is a proposed resolution, which would put the board on record supporting and calling for the federal government to institute a robust program of safe, it should say rail transit safety regulation and oversight. I believe Mr. Benjamin pointed this out to me. But in the resolved clause, it would say, be it resolved, the Monitor Board directs the correspondent federal government to institute a robust program of rail transit safety regulation oversight, adequately funded and sufficiently staffed and at least comparable to the corresponding functions provided by the Federal Rail Administration for Heavy Rail and by the Federal Aviation Administration for Airlines. And I move its approval.
Second. It's been moved by Mr. Zimmerman, seconded by Mr. Benjamin. Is there discussion? 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 Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? No. The ayes have it, and the motion is approved. Now we will proceed to our administrative items. We have 9 items. Is there objection to considering these items in block? Hearing none, we will now consider the items 1 through 9 in block. I move approval of the 9 administrative items. Is there a second? It's been moved by Mr. Graham and seconded by Mr. Zimmerman. Is there discussion? 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 Hearing none. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? No. The ayes have it, and those administrative items are approved. We now move to reports. The District of Columbia, Mr. Albert.
Has no reports.
Well, let me take this opportunity to report on the opening of a joint project with the District of Columbia at the Minnesota Benning Metro Station. The mayor of the District of Columbia was there the other day, and we opened the new garage, which is in a very important step forward for that neighborhood, a 500-car garage. I thought the mayor's actions that day were very unique and interesting because he drives a smart car, as you might know, and he drove the smart car through the ribbon. The ribbon had been somewhat cut before he drove through it, so it didn't resist the vehicle. And I was privileged to be in the car with the mayor, and we drove right into the garage and thus inaugurated that very important new facility at Minnesota Benning, east of the Anacostia River. And so we want to be sure we get that on the record. Report from Mr. Solomon is not here from Maryland. Mr. Linton? Thank you. And from the Commonwealth of Virginia, Mrs. Hutchins?
I have no report.
And no report there. So we've had our motion for executive session. We'll reconvene if we need to. And this meeting now stands in, I guess we recess. We stands in recess pending the outcome of our executive session. Thank you all very much.